Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Philip, who is one of Lion & Panda's owners and its founder. Philip started his agency in 2013 with the goal of providing businesses with analytics-driven marketing and development strategies. Today, we're going to be discussing Philip's journey of building his agency and what he's learned along the way. So thank you so much for joining us today, Philip.
All right. Thank you.
So to get started, let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit. Okay. So what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
I think what really got me started into this was just the level of creativity and the ability to kind of get involved in projects where I'd be able to help companies grow as a whole. And I think that was something that really drove me into the business. I'd worked for several different corporations and those kind of things. And, you know, it wasn't as fun when it was always funner when we were dealing with processes that were getting started versus just making sure the daily flow was kind of going. So that was really what kind of drove me in, and seeing, you know, that opportunity to start working with more companies, especially small to medium sized businesses, and helping them grow.
That's awesome. And, you know, how did you originally get into digital marketing?
I'd always kind of set myself down the path of kind of the marketing and technical aspect of learning in general. And that was one of my big passions. I was very big into the technical side. And, I had a lot of fun focusing in on marketing. As I kind of got started into things, you know, in my career, I just found a lot of opportunities where there was a lot of companies and a lot of groups that were lacking in kind of like this area of digital marketing and what they needed to do. There was a lot of processes in place, but things were growing so fast. And, you know, we always found these agency relationship partners where we would work with them. And one of the things is there were so many divides that ended up occurring from what I kind of considered, you know, our traditional agency approach. So when we got started, we're mostly focused on kind of creating an atmosphere that really streamlines and kind of creates a better, more personal relationship with our clients, and instead of seeing us as just the outside group that's trying to help them do A, B, or C, we try to be more partner focused and really drive on building a relationship so that we're both focusing on success.
I love that. So yeah, you're just basically, you know, you're an extension of their company, and you're working really closely with them to just really help them to have an impact with their marketing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. So could you talk a little bit more about your journey of starting Lion & Panda? And yeah, I'd love to learn about, you know, what it was like in those early days and how you really got that start.
Well, as I said, I kind of started out from more of the corporate side of things. So I spent some early times both in small businesses and larger companies, just kind of handling a lot of the technical and marketing side of things for people. And during that way, you know, I came into contact with a lot of different agencies, a lot of different groups. And, you know, we kind of started building a lot of these different rapports with these groups as I started working with them. And, you know, we just started really seeing the opportunity and the need to be able to, you know, improve some of those relationships and make a good environment where we could really hone in on some of those technical aspects. We saw a lot of groups where it was just like, I told them I needed X, they went and build that. And then we saw that natural divide between what I actually said that I wanted and what I actually really need, because right. they were building exactly what I asked for. And so we, me and a couple other people kind of started the agency and said, we wanted to found based on the principle of making something that was really focused more on helping business owners and organizations themselves be able to come in and get digital marketing support, not just actions. You know, there's a lot of groups out there who can do a lot of different tasks, but we really want to come in from more of a holistic approach and really focus on being that part of a company. And that's what really got us started, is saying, you know, how can we be a part of a company and be an aid to them, not just in what they're wanting from us, but also in some of the things they may not even be aware of.
Right. So you guys take a very consultative approach as well, it sounds like, and you're really helping to educate them on things that they might not necessarily know that they need, and really like break it down for them.
Yeah. One of our kind of core things we also like to say is that an educated client is our favorite client.
Yes. Yeah, it's very true. So what were some of those challenges that you had to overcome in the early days when you were first starting out?
Well, I think, as with a lot of people, it was a lot of boots on the ground. We were one of those strappy startups who basically we kind of came out into the world and said, we're going to do this. So, you know, we didn't have any kind of big funding or anything like that. But basically, we just said, you know, now's the chance. We started helping, you know, a few different people. And then we kind of saw this as an opportunity that could grow. And so, you know, I left my corporate job and basically kind of came on full time to kind of manage and direct Lion & Panda and where we were going. And so we started out with, you know, a few people, brought in some contractors, different things like that, and started kind of forming those relationships with a few smaller clients. You know, and I think the biggest thing that was kind of that hurdle is that initial, we were great when we got involved with a lot of clients, but it was always hard to start some of those early relationships and really get into those. So that was a big thing that we had to overcome, was, you know, it was like once somebody trusted us, they really saw our value and really saw what came to life. But sometimes it's, especially in this day and age where there's so many options out there online, so many people have been kind of put into this place where they've gotten a lot of bad experiences, and they come into that with that baggage. So they talk to you and you say, hey, I want to be you know, the group for you, and they're saying, well, I just got done with these five other guys who they did X, Y, and Z to me. They probably did their jobs, but it just didn't give me what I need, and now I'm not sure I can trust anyone. And I feel like that relationship piece was one of our hardest things to start really growing into.
Yeah. So how did you bring in those leads, you know, when you were first starting out, to really grow the company and, you know, build that initial trust?
Absolutely. Like a lot of the things that we really started doing was, there was a lot of word of mouth necessarily. You know, the people who got involved were very much experts in their field. So I came from a lot of the technical marketing background, analytics, and web development. And, you know, we had others more from design aspects and from development aspects. And basically, so there was a little bit of reputation we had there. So we started building that up and kind of getting the word out. But over time, we really, really focused on kind of being able to get in for small projects. I think, you know, it's always great to be able to look at those massive projects where you come in and do the, you know, big website or big development, but we found more effective approaches to get in with clients is really addressing a single problem that they had. Because at the end of the day, we found so many people were just, you know, yes, they wanted to redevelop their website, or maybe they wanted to reimagine their digital program or how they're advertising right there, getting more clients. But usually there was a much smaller, irritating goal that is usually sitting in the way of each of these owners and managers and those kind of things like that. And we found those opportunities where we could say, instead of let's revamp everything that you're doing, let's just solve one problem. Let's start there and see how we can help and let you see what we can do for you.
Yes. Yeah, I love that. I love that you guys just use, you know, that foot in the door strategy. So you just came in with a to solve a smaller solution and, you know, deliver those results, build that trust. And and then it just opens the door to have that conversation for, you know, more of your higher ticket services. So I think that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, very good. So what does your, you know, your sales strategy look like now? You know, how are you currently now bringing in leads into your agency and then closing those prospects?
And that's still, I think, an ever evolving process for us. A lot of times we still have a heavy reliance on kind of basically what we're getting from other people. We get a lot of word of mouth requests. So, I was actually just on the phone with somebody who got referred from a prior client who said, you know, hey, you need somebody to help you with managing your site and digital presence, you should definitely call these guys. And so we see a lot of that. And then we've been definitely promoting a lot of our engagement and practices on things like LinkedIn. One of the newest things we're really trying to do is start to evolve more of our like blogs and really start to engage more on a social side to provide helpful information. Very similar to resources like this podcast is, you know, just being able to offer something to our consumers that we answer every day and run into trouble with. And I think that's been kind of our goal, is really to just get that initial contact and let people make that decision from there, instead of doing a direct sale saying, hey, we need to come in and solve your problem. Start by really offering some solutions that somebody's going to identify with.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, just offering value, just nurturing those relationships and staying top of mind until, you know, your prospect's ready to buy.
Yeah,
that's awesome. So what have you discovered along the way that is the key to maintaining happy clients who are going to bring in those referrals to you at the end of the day?
Well, the biggest thing is, it's relationship is everything. It's almost amazing to see that in this digital age, so much relationship has gone. So many things now, of course, are online and video conferences and everything else like that. And, you know, the client connection and client relationship sometimes becomes a little stagnant. We tend to talk through emails versus phone calls and visiting and those kind of things like that. And those are things where we've really put an emphasis on building a relationship with our clients, not coming at things from what do you want, but tell us more about your business. Let's find out what's going on, and taking a more of a learning approach versus a solving approach. Because if we can learn what's going on, what they're doing in their business, we can naturally find those solutions. And, you know, that allows us to be a little bit more agile for them, because we're bringing two levels of expertise. They're bringing the expertise in the field that they're coming in, and then we're building in our expertise from a technical and marketing side.
Right. Okay. Very good. So yeah, you're really nurturing that relationship, really making sure, you know, you've got that communication really clear and dialed in, and then you're able to deliver those great results to your client, bring in more of those referrals.
Yeah, we really like to do things too with a lot of follow-up. So analytics is a big driven part of what we're doing. So often, especially in this field, it's a lot of businesses can't or don't know how to take advantage of all the information that is available to them. So while we like to design and create new things that are exciting and bold, we also like to tie those back to, you know, tangible investment returns. So, you know, seeing that ROI for something, and how we like to approach things from saying, you know, this is your business. What are the actual goals? We always want to get new clients, new customers, new things like that. But at the same time, what are we trying to achieve at a ground level? And what are some of the things that are going to indicate success in anything that we're doing? And being able to find those things are, it's very, very interesting to be able to get down to the baseline of what's going to turn into a client and how those things are. And then how in fact we can track those so that when we do any kind of, you know, outreach or those kind of things, we can see that follow through come all the way to the final marker of somebody actually becoming a client.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I love that. And what would you say has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've been growing Lion and Panda?
I'd probably say there's always, the biggest thing I would always say is my team. You know, we've run into so many things over the years, and we have such a very loyal team with us today, but that has been always one of the biggest, hardest, and most important aspects of what we do. You know, when we got started, you know, the concept was a lot more around, you know, building a client base, right? And, you know, the ownership and leadership that we had was all on the floor with the customers and trying to grow things. But as we grew bigger and started getting some employees and people on the floor, we started realizing that it was almost more important to make sure that our team was well prepared and well adequately trained and set up for success. Mm-hmm. And that's where we saw a lot of things kind of come in where, you know, even from clients, I mean, they kind of ran into some of these issues where, you know, you come in and get the great sales presentation, but then the team who was there behind their implementation was ill-equipped or not informed enough to be able to execute on some of the things, and clients had to end up spending more time trying to educate them. So we've really tried to focus a lot more of our attention on trying to empower our team members to do what they do best and to focus on their passion areas. But that was something that was a hard learned lesson as we started going in, because that client focus is weird to kind of change from saying, I just want to focus on the customers, to I need to focus internally in order for my external results to start increasing.
Yes. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. So you really had to dial in those systems and processes to make sure that you had a more streamlined process from, you know, the sale, the beginning of the sale through to implementation of the services with your team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we really have started embracing a really big culture around trying to encourage people to voice their opinions. A lot of times people tend to kind of, you know, just stick with the usual process, but we like when our team brings up new insights or thoughts that they have, even if it's not necessarily their area of specialties. You know, being able to speak about a customer and kind of talk with what they're seeing and what they're thinking has really brought to the front a lot of ownership within our team. And it's also brought a lot more involvement with our clients, because I feel like they feel the investment on both sides, whereas it's not just I'm working with so-and-so over here and they're just doing their job and getting it done, but I'm working with somebody who's now thinking about some of these things and engaging with my business and learning about my business. And, you know, so it's not just a designer who's creating my ad, but it's a designer who's taking into account some of the things that go on in my business and maybe what they think could be helpful as well. And, you know, bringing forth that kind of information from, you know, individual members of the team, it's kind of like a, it's a big thing, because so many people kind of get into this trench of, let's just do the same thing we've always done before, you know, let's repeat the success we've had.
Yeah, absolutely. And it also can be intimidating to some employees to really, you know, in some work cultures, that's considered, you know, stepping outside of your lane. So I like that you guys, you know, encourage them to really voice their opinion. And, you know, you guys just keep an open mind and see where you can be growing and switching up your systems if it's needed.
Yeah, that's been very important to us. And I think that's one of the main reasons that we've seen the growth that we have over the years, is because our team members were more invested into our client success, and that success has led to them becoming stronger referrals for us and new opportunities. It's not just that we do a good job, but that our entire team is thinking about them. And that gives a level of personalization to everything that we do.
That's awesome. Very good. So where do you see Lion and Panda in 5 years' time?
That's always the big question. Right now, we have focused a lot around kind of like this digital forefront with type two main kind of sides to this. We've got very much a development website, applications, e-commerce, and we've had a side of the business that's very focused on the digital marketing, you know, advertising, SEO, all of these kind of opportunities. But we've started to try to integrate more and more of these pieces together, where we've been seeing a lot of opportunities for just automation in general. Especially what we've seen is there's a lot of companies that kind of sit on the precipice of this enterprise level. It's kind of what I call it. Essentially, there's a bunch of enterprise tools and capabilities and things out there that are great to use. However, they're very expensive and robust, and they require a lot of investment and time and people to basically make it all happen. And then there's a lot of small business tools, which are excellent, great for what they provide, but sometimes the integration between all of it starts to become a little bit messy and confusing, and you start using so many tools that it starts to become a lot for your organization. So we've kind of started looking at kind of our opportunities with building more encompassing systems for organizations that we work with. And we've been seeing it where, you know, we started doing advertising and digital ad, and then they're like, well, that's great, but now I need to see that follow through, right? How do I ensure that my success is going to be that my sales team is going to have success? Those ideas and elements that my sales team bring are going to get back to, you know, other members of my business. And so we have took to building a lot of custom solutions where it's not just a website, but it might be the customer relationship system on the back end, or it might even be inventory management to make things more dynamic. So more about kind of putting everything together into a custom but yet simplistic system. And I think that's where we're really trying to trend towards, is kind of, you know, there's a lot of great tools out there, but we're trying to build things that are unique for each business, because whenever you're building a much larger tool, you're talking about all the things that you're going to have and all the things that you're going to need. But there I was trying to identify kind of the largest audience, right? Mm-hmm. But we're focused in with many small businesses. When you get all of these options and tools, I kind of always like to take the side of Salesforce. I love Salesforce as a tool, but for many smaller, medium-sized businesses, it's like bringing a sledgehammer into place, because there's so much to do. So we actually create much smaller custom tools that equip them with just what they need. Which leads to far better integration, leads to them being more streamlined, and helps their process. And I think that's where we're kind of seeing that future growing, is trying to create more of these ecosystems of success that are custom to our customer and what their process is, and not the other way around where they're trying to fit into all of the other tools as well.
That's really interesting. And I agree. It's so easy to just get bombarded by having so many different tools for these businesses that it's overwhelming. And then within each tool, you know, a lot of them are very bloated with features. And I mean, they're amazing, powerful, robust tools, but they can also be confusing and overwhelming to some users. So yeah, I think that makes a ton of sense. And that's really interesting.
Yeah. And we've seen kind of a little bit of that move to simplicity, where you know, not everything has to be everything for everyone, but, you know, serving a better and smaller core audience that is going to be more able to take advantage of everything that tool has to offer. Building those kind of custom systems for all of our clients, we're also able to integrate and take advantage of a lot of the tools that are out there, and just make them so that they're integrated within a single option. So I'm no longer having to go out to 25 different things, but I can work from one space and then take advantage of the power that a lot of other third-party tools have to offer.
Yeah, very cool. I love that. Well, we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but do you have any, you know, final thoughts or words of wisdom you'd like to share with our listeners?
Just with everything, I think the biggest thing that we've kind of seen, especially now through kind of the last few years and this really push into digitalization, is kind of the aspect of fear of the unknown. And I think that's been one of the things that we've been working with clients about. We've been partnering in with a lot of other groups, agencies, those kind of things like that. And the two things that kind of happen in that fear of the unknown is essentially some of the digital aspects and new ways of kind of communicating and linking in with people have kind of become a little bit harder, and everybody kind of pushes back to default. But we're really trying to right now push towards, you know, what is that new future? What is the new ecosphere of how we're communicating, how we're working together as a companies? And we've been seeing a lot of other companies doing that and embracing some of those changes instead of fighting them has been kind of, you know, always a big thing. And even in our partners, one of the kind of fun things we've kind of been discovered is how powerful partnerships can be and how partnerships can be really benefiting, especially when you're not always looking at what you're going to take out of the relationship, but also how you can kind of give back into that. We've kind of created, you know, our network of partners who we're all in the same field, but at the same time, we found that if we can make each other successes, that we ourselves become a stronger success. And that kind of getting away from the selfish mentality of I can do everything, and rather I can do my area, and then I can have many other people that can also provide their expertise in, has really kind of broadened our range and really evolved how we do things. And I think that's something where, especially right now, it feels like everybody's trying to hold on to their little bubble. And it's almost like you need to embrace a larger bubble. And I think that's one of the things we've been learning and growing in these last past 2 years, that, you know, we're really seeing, you know, that opportunity for a lot of other companies and agencies and other things to embrace.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's key to have those strategic partnerships, because digital marketing has so many services now that make up digital marketing. And yeah, it can definitely be challenging just finding those team members who are a perfect fit, who are going to be able to execute on all of those services. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it makes so much sense, you know, when you can, you know, really focus on what you want to be serving to your clients, and then having those strategic partners where you can be referring out services to other agencies and vice versa. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. All right. Well, we are now ready to move on to the fast five. So I've got five rapid fire questions for you now.
Okay.
And what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Well, actually, and kind of in line with some of the things that we've been talking about, the big one that I got a lot from recently was, I read Range by David Epstein. And basically the theme of it is kind of like taking that idea of generalist in a very specialized world. You know, there are a lot of individuals out there who are very specialized, and we kind of treat that. We see a lot of the major companies where leadership and those kind of things came from a position of like, I'm a super expert, knowledgeable person in this field. But how does that also play in with the ability for people who are a little bit broader in focus, and how they can use that to their success in this arena too? And, you know, some of the big things that I really took away from that was just learning that we need to think about things and learn about them before we're actually trying to take action all the time, and really focusing upon becoming learners in multiple disciplines and not just the experts in our own fields all the time. You know, as a business owner specifically, there's so much else I have to touch that doesn't include anything of like, the digital marketing and technology aspects. You know, as an owner, you know, I touch on other things like, you know, HR and legal and all these other things. And those are other areas where I need to come to the table and really building that diverse experiences. And that's also where we've been seeing like partnerships grow, because we just aren't trying to get away from that idea of being entrenched in like the way things have always been done and really be open to that. And I think that Range really was a great book and kind of promoting that I saw that as like, oh, this makes a lot of sense, because so often we're like, we got to become experts in X and that's what we have to know. But becoming something that is more on a general side and being able to grow that has kind of been an exciting prospect, especially in this day and age where there's so much to learn.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. And that book's called Range.
Range. Yes.
Okay. Interesting. And then what does your morning routine look like?
Well, I have a 4-year-old, so it kind of depends on what she's doing for the morning, but Lately, it's been kind of getting up and starting to have my day for a little personal time at the beginning, especially when I came into business. It was so much about jumping in and just doing everything and focusing on work 100%. But now I've kind of found myself stepping back and taking a little time for personal. I try to have, you know, my little special time with, you know, my family before, you know, the work at school all starts, and getting a little time for myself, or even if I can take 5 to 10 minutes just to kind of take a little meditation time, I find kind of helps me get centered before I start the bigger day and before I delve into all the problems of work. So that separation actually makes me a lot stronger for that. And so that's kind of been my morning, is take care of kind of my personal side, making sure I get a little time to think and kind of meditate and not concentrate on everything that's about to happen. And then walking into that with kind of a fresh feel. So then I'm digging into those emails and getting into everything.
That's awesome. I love that. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Well, I think due to my background, I mean, one of the things I've really seen is like, there's not really a CEO that I necessarily go after, but it's been more of like the business trends in general. One of the big things I've seen is like, I like to pay attention to what the big guys are doing in general from business trend and from what are their considerations of what's kind of coming down. I like to say right now, it's been a lot of the three A's, as I've been kind of calling it, is automation, analytics, and AI. You know, what's that budding piece of what are the big guys going to doing and how that applies back to what, you know, smaller, medium sized business can take advantage of. And so following, you know, those kind of trends, we've been seeing a lot of the new digital interaction and relationship building. And it's been kind of interesting to see that grow. So I always say it's hard to just follow like one person, but it becomes that larger entity is everything they're doing.
Interesting. Okay. So you focus on what are those trends of what they're doing.
Right.
Interesting. Okay. And what is your favorite online tool?
So I think the thing that I've adopted in is I have like kind of like two, and my, on a business side, I've been a big proponent of Slack. As you know, I think it's a commonplace and a lot of people know that tool now, but it's just made things so much easier for my organization, especially with so many remote workers and other things like that. That has been probably our best communication tool that we've had. And then on a personal level, I come from a lot of data analytics. I'm really a big fan of SEMrush for SEO, paid advertising, those kind of things like that. As a tool, you know, I see so many, you know, giant tools that are focused around, you know, let's just solve all the problems for you in kind of an automated fashion. But as a business owner, and especially as a lot of my services have to do with kind of what I can bring to the table, SEMrush has been kind of a good pace, especially on that forefront for, you know, being able to build up, you know, what are those next steps, because it gives me a lot of data points to start to analyze and review. And a lot of our teams have been able to find out in very unique ways how that can approach in everything from a campaign that's about to come out to a website that we're building. And that's been kind of a big thing, especially right now as everybody's trying to get a larger digital awareness, I think.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And that's such a powerful, robust tool. So yeah. Great recommendation. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I'd probably have to say the biggest thing I wish I would have known was not to be afraid of quitting things. I think where I was taught, especially in the entrepreneurial space, that, you know, it's about the grit and the power and the pushing through it all. And there's a lot of things where I felt that I spun my wheels, where I could have saved some time just by moving on to something that was more tied in with what I wanted to do. You know, it's that idea of like everything that I'm trying to do, I just don't have to like push it through, but sometimes I can just move in a different direction and find a better way to do something. And that can save me, especially, you know, in a business in this digital space right now where everything's so fluid, it becomes hard sometimes. And especially early in my career, I spent a lot of times trying to push some things, and just to find out, you know, a few years later, everything was kind of overridden. And, you know, that's kind of a unique approach to take onto things, and keeping that element of not being afraid to just say, this isn't going to work and I need to go something else, is something I think that everybody should really kind of consider in their daily lives, because it just saves you so much time when you start just getting rid of that stuff that you're just trying to make happen and it's not getting you the results you need.
Yeah, absolutely. So just being able to, you know, pivot quickly if you find out something isn't working for you, it's not going in the direction that you were hoping, and just being able to, you know, put that new plan into action and then go in that different direction.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially with that, listening to those around you, because sometimes, you know, part of the problem is people around you are telling you the right things to do. And sometimes you're like, no, but I can make this work. And when I started finding that I could listen to my team around me and started really hearing what they were saying, a lot of times that redirected things that we were doing in the business. And that's been some of our biggest triumphs, was because it stopped being what I wanted to do and started being what everybody saw.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I think it's so important as a business owner to just be able to have that, not let your ego kind of get in the way when you haven't necessarily made a decision that's really moving you in the direction you want, and just have that open mind and be able to listen to others, and just think critically about those decisions.
Absolutely, yes.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Philip. It was a real pleasure to learn about you and your agency. And yeah, I've really enjoyed having you on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.